Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I wonder if anybody in here tonight has ever had a favourite song growing up, or has had one recently that they would have listened to constantly, on repeat, countless times a day. Perhaps growing up you were a big fan of Elvis in the 50s and you sang your heart out every time you heard Can't Falling in Love. Or in the 70s you were a big Elton John fan and every time you heard that Tiny Dancer chorus you just couldn't help but join in, like myself. For me at the moment, as I'm sure Samantha could tell you, my constantly listened to track is Brandy, which featured on the Guardians of the Galaxy 2 soundtrack. And yet, while I love it at the minute, if your experience is similar to mine, after time and countless playthroughs of this song that you love, it maybe perhaps loses its appeal, or it loses its edge. Perhaps it's lost the little factor that made it your favourite song in the first place. Similarly to Psalm 23, as it's so familiar, we as Christians are exposed to it so often, as it stands out of one of the main passages in the Bible that, as I said earlier, we could nearly all recite ourselves. However, because of this familiarity, perhaps has there been a certain element of contemptness, so to speak, that crept in? Has this psalm perhaps lost its grip or its touch or the meaning over us that it once had when we were first exposed to it? It happens to us all, I'm sure, whether it's a Bible passage or a song, movie, book, whatever it could be. But I thought tonight it would be beneficial to have a deeper look into this psalm and remind ourselves of how important its message actually is and why we shouldn't let that importance fade away in our minds as we hear it over and over. So let's get into it. When looking at a psalm, you have to consider first who wrote it and why. What experience in their life inspired them to pen the words, or what were they going through at this time that inspired them to write it? In the case of Psalm 23, the writer, David, who we are all familiar with, wrote this psalm inspired by his first-hand experience of life as a shepherd when he was a younger boy. He was aware of the love and care a shepherd should have toward his sheep, and so much so that he even tackled a bear and a lion at an age younger than what I'm standing here in order to protect his flock. He was also aware of how the shepherd looked after his sheep and cared for them, and how he provided for them, delivered them, and blessed them. Now those words, provided, delivered, and blessed, seem a little far-fetched to use when regarding actual physical sheep, but as we are aware, the imagery used in this psalm is likening us to the sheep, and of course likening the Lord to the shepherd. And this is not an uncommon motif either in the Bible, as the Lord is often referred to as a shepherd. For example, Jesus refers to himself as the good shepherd in John chapter 10. So when we consider these words, provided, delivered, and blessed again, in this sense, it seems a little less far-fetched and more normal, doesn't it? And yet, isn't that the problem? When we consider God's love for us as normal, isn't that the stage when this contentment creeps in and almost devalues the amazing aspects of God's love for us? Now, I'm not accusing anyone of this, because it happens to everybody, devaluing different aspects of Christian life, but hopefully by the end of this lesson, we will all be able to hold on firmly to God's love and care for us, and truly appreciate it through this simple, yet amazingly effective imagery used within this psalm. So again, when we go through this passage, we will look at the love and care God has for us as a shepherd and how he provides for us, delivers us, and blesses us, like he did so for David, the writer, himself. So firstly, we see how the Lord will provide for us in verses 1 to 3. The psalmist writes in verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd," and immediately paints this picture in our heads as the Lord being our shepherd. Yet when we consider the status of shepherds in David's time, why does David compare the Lord God Almighty, all-powerful, to a meager shepherd who were always so low in the social hierarchy of the time? As we are aware, shepherds were not held in particularly high regard, nor were they seen as significant individuals in any way at all that you could think of. Shepherding wasn't a particularly glamorous job either. There was no lovely flexi time or free pizzas on your lunch break, and it often required risking one's own health to provide for the sheep themselves. However, David does not compare the Lord God Almighty, as I said, to a meager shepherd in a derogatory way at all. David doesn't heed this social hierarchy, and nor did God or Jesus when he was on earth, when you consider his disciples, whether they were simple fishermen or rebellious zealots or even a tax collector. Rather, David compares the Lord to a shepherd through knowing from first-hand experience the honest and genuine love and care a good shepherd should have towards its own flock. Therefore, when he refers to the Lord as a shepherd, he illustrates clearly God's care of his people and how he will provide for them. Like David took care of his sheep, the Lord takes care of his own flock, being us Christians, and that he leads us, takes us into his fold, and provides for us our every need. And therefore, because of this genuine and honest love the Lord has for his sheep, that David was aware of from having his own, David confidently could say that he shall not want in verse 1, as he knows by fact that his every need will be provided for him from his loving shepherd. With the shepherd nearby to help, the sheep were provided for in every possible way they could think of, and even that they couldn't think of. Likewise, we as sheep cannot truly provide for ourselves in everyday life, yet when we call upon the Lord, only he can provide what we need, whether it is what we are aware of what we need, or whether it is something that we weren't even aware of in the first place, as Jackie would have touched upon a couple of Sunday nights ago. But verses 2 and 3 also show how the Lord provides his flock with comfort and guidance. Verses 2 and 3 say, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Verse 2 shows us how he provides us with comfort by painting this picture of the flock lying in these green pastures. I remember as a child reading this, with my amazing imagination, I would have pictured this lovely lush green field area with the still waters running beside it and all these Christians having essentially a lovely picnic, and all the kids would be running about all free and none of them would have a worry in the world. And within this green area, they didn't have to worry because again, metaphorically, this green area was the Lord's fold and therefore all within it were protected and could be at peace in the comfort that was provided. Green pastures are symbolic of areas of calmness and peacefulness, and only in the Lord can we know true calmness and peace. As Christians, we may not always find ourselves in the best circumstances. Situations may arise that hurt us or get us down. We might have to deal with an ailment, with an annoyance or an inconvenience that others don't have to, and we might consider it unfair. And yet again, with the Lord as our shepherd, despite this situation, these situations or annoyances or inconveniences, we are also provided with true comfort in our minds so long as we dwell in the Lord and not let these earthly situations overtake us. We truly have the comforts of this life as the Lord has provided them for us by his good hand. But verse 2 continues to mention being led by the still waters, and we are first made aware of the Lord providing us guidance as he leads us by these waters. He directs the flock's eyes, paths, and hearts into his love and care. Through leading us by these still waters, he restores our souls and leads us in paths of righteousness, as verse 3 says. if we truly follow him. But of course, it is easier said than done to truly follow the Lord's path. Again, if we liken ourselves to sheep, we can go our own way sometimes and bump into metaphorical wolves who might try to eat us up or fall into unfortunate circumstances that were rough terrain, so to speak. Yeah, and that will happen. The life of a Christian is not always easy, and we are going to be ridiculed or made a mock of in our own work or family circles or anything. We'll be laughed at, scorned, excluded from groups, treated differently, perhaps even targeted. However, despite this ridicule, we should be encouraged in knowing that through this guidance, by being led down this path, while it may be difficult, the Lord will provide us with the spiritual food, rest, and refreshment that we need to lead us through these difficult situations. With spiritual nourishment of our souls, we can become closer to him and cling on to his word, and therefore also his path of righteousness, despite what other mockers or scoffers may consider us to be for doing so. Therefore, if we follow this path, it will be exactly as verse 3 says. He will restore our souls and lead us in these paths of righteousness for his sake. Also, those that claim to follow him, as David did, must keep their eyes on his guidance and let him lead so that he may provide for us our every need, whether it is comfort or guidance or any other need we may have. Moving on to our second point, we see the Lord's love and care for us in that he delivers us from evil. Verse 4, this next verse we'll look at, struck me in particular in how much we can draw from it, especially when at the mention of evil we would much rather just go, no, let's just skip on by and ignore that. And yet, despite the mention of evil and darkness, this verse can provide us with great encouragement. Verse 4 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Again, as mentioned, being a Christian isn't always going to be easy, and we will face ridicule. This life of duty will require sacrifice, and therefore it will not always be clean sailing. But we should take immense comfort from verse 4, knowing how the Lord will deliver us from these situations. When considering the valley of the shadow of death in verse 4, it first mentions how the psalmist walks through it. Again, thinking back to my younger days when reading this verse, I would have pictured this man perhaps sprinting or charging through this dark area with different trees and vines and different rocks to trip him up, and there'd be all sorts of different unknown things that would get in his way and make him fall and put him off track. But the psalmist doesn't say he sprints or is fretting or is flustered in any way. It simply says he walks. The psalmist has the utmost confidence in the Lord as his shepherd, and he knows he can take each step slowly and steadily as it comes, and knows fully how he will be delivered from the shadows of evil situations. And of course, he is delivered. Verse 4 continues to say that he walks through the valley of the shadow of death. It doesn't say walk into, and that's it. It doesn't say he walks around in it or within it. Again, it simply states that he walks through the valley. David knows the Lord cares for him, and knows and says with complete faith that he will be delivered through the evil situations. Yet the encouragement in the first part of verse 4 doesn't stop there. Verse 4 says it's the valley of the shadow of death. Now, could anybody put their hand up and say they've ever been physically harmed by a shadow at all, or perhaps hurt in any way by one? I didn't think so. But don't get me wrong. If we liken these shadows to difficult situations that we can find ourselves in, they can still be terrifying. And in this metaphorical sense, these situations will scare us and we will be affected negatively by them. We may be faced with injuries, job security issues, money issues, illnesses, even death. But again, we must be encouraged by these words and know that these shadows cannot truly harm us as long as we consider the Lord truly as our shepherd. Outcomes may not always seem fair in some situations like death, and as sad as it is, shouldn't we still be encouraged that the Lord has decided to call one of his flock home? Or if we lose our jobs, if we have to quit in any way, or we're fired, shouldn't we still be encouraged that despite not having this income, he will still provide exactly what we need? So like the psalmist, the Lord will truly deliver us from this evil. And in like manner, we can say, like David, I will fear no evil. And why? Because the Lord is our shepherd, and he is with us. He will not forsake us, he will not forget us, and he will not abandon us in any way. This verse actually reminded me of the much-loved Footprints in the Sand poem, when an individual is taking a walk down the beach, as you do with Jesus, and all of a sudden he comes upon more difficult times, and he only sees the one set of footprints, and he goes, Jesus, why did you leave me there? I was having a difficult time. But of course, again, as we know, Jesus said, no, that's when I was carrying you. You could no longer go on yourself, and I carried you. In like manner, through the symbolic use of images such as the rod and the staff as guidance, we can know that the Lord will carry us through our difficult times and remain with us and help us through these situations, through them. Therefore, we can again see the Lord's love and care for us as his flock in how he delivers us from evil, and in doing so, provides us with further comfort and guidance, as mentioned in the first point. But finally, we can see how, as our shepherd, the Lord will bless us. At this stage, he has provided for us and delivered us, and should we truly follow him as our shepherd, he will bless us with all his goodness. Verse 5 says, You prepare a table before me. In the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. This is a perfect example again of the Lord showing constant mercy towards us, which is itself great blessing. We as humans in our sin deserve nothing. We are but dust, as it says. We are worthless. We are nothing. The Lord doesn't need us in any way, and why would he? What benefits could we humans possibly bring the Lord God? And yet, despite our failures, despite our worthlessness or our nothingness, he has still provided for us all things. All things for body and for soul, now and forever. And what an amazing blessing that is itself. He has provided food for us, a full, lovely spread on a table, which many of us in here would, I'm sure, be licking our lips at. A lovely spread, perhaps even better than the Tully Glass Carvery, whether you want to believe that or not. But he has also provided for us a filled cup to quench our thirst, and so much so that it overflows. There's an overabundance of liquid to quench our thirsts, more so than we could even consider. However, again with all the symbolism going on in this psalm, can we not again see how this overflowing of the cup is a symbol for the Lord's constant mercy for us and grace? Which again is an amazing blessing. A blessing so amazing, in fact, that we can't, sadly, even truly comprehend it from our earthly point of view. By verse 6, David is so confident in the Lord's love and care for him that he has the boldness and complete confidence in saying, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. His hope has risen and his faith has been strengthened by remembering the Lord's love and care for him as his shepherd. The Lord's goodness and mercy will follow him exactly as a sheep follows a shepherd, and not just every so often or a couple of days a week, but every single second of every single day. The Lord's goodness and mercy and grace and every other blessing is there to pick us up when we fall, and also, as importantly, on our best of days, which, of course, we should be thankful for. Who God loves, he loves to the end, and we should be encouraged by this blessing, as well as David was in his life. And therefore, we can clearly see how the Lord as our shepherd blesses us immensely, in an uncomprehendable abundance. As Jackie mentioned the past couple of weeks in his Philippian sermons, we should likewise count our blessings and name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. And so to finish, I thought this would be a simpler passage to start off with, you know, to sort of ease myself into the way of this whole sermon thing. Yeah, I was pretty quickly mistaken when I read through the different commentaries of it. But it's amazing, isn't it, how many how so many little simple and yet amazing lessons we can pull out from six short verses. And isn't it also amazing how from the very youngest of us to the very oldest of us, we can all take something from six simple little verses. But yet, isn't it also amazing in a more sad sense how when we consider it in depth once more, we have forgotten these amazing lessons behind it. But to recap, throughout this passage we see how the Lord provides for us and will continue to do so. We see how he provides for his flock, and like the psalmist, we need to have complete faith in the Lord to provide for us what we need and not get it mixed up with what we are wanting. We also see how the Lord delivers us from evil. He will walk with us, surely and steadily, through the difficult situations in our lives, and we need to truly depend on him to guide us through these tougher situations and believe that he will deliver us from the evil. Like David, we should have full confidence in saying, "I will fear no evil, for you are with me." But finally, we also see how the Lord blesses us, so much so that our cups cannot even contain it in any way at all. So be encouraged and blessed in knowing that his goodness and mercy and grace will follow you everywhere. But also remember to be thankful for it. But hopefully, after this, if I've done the whole sermon thing right, you will remember the Lord's love and care for us as our shepherd, and how he provides for us, delivers us, and blesses us. As I said at the start, we've read through this so many times throughout our lives, we could nearly recite it off perfectly. But don't let that familiarity of this psalm breed a contemptness. Hold on to these words, and remember how the Lord truly loves and cares for us as our shepherd. Amen.